Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
If Kamala gets four more years, the entire country will be turned into a migrant camp, and that's what's happening. Millions and millions of people. When I win on November 5th, the migrant invasion ends and the restoration of our country begins. My message to the American people is very simple. No person who has inflicted the violence and terror that Borders or Harris has unleashed on our country can ever be allowed to become the president of the United States. You can't let this happen. And anyone who would import criminal gangs to occupy America, we're not going to be occupied by anybody, cannot ask to be president of this country. Anyone who orchestrated an invasion of America cannot lead America. Kamala Harris, her reign of terror ends the day I take office. She's finished. She's finished. She's finished. And to expedite removals of Trende Aragua and other savage gangs, there are many savage gangs. MS-13 is probably even meaner. They don't like using guns. They like using knives. They cut up two young girls, beautiful young girls, walking to school in Long Island. They like Long Island for some reason, a lot of them, but ICE got them out, largely got them out. But two beautiful young girls walk into school and they cut them up with knives. They cut them up into little pieces. Both of them died. They didn't want to use a gun because a gun's not painful enough. These are animals. I will invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to target and dismantle every migrant criminal network operating on American soil. And we will call it Operation Aurora. That's what we're going to, in honor of the people that have suffered in Aurora at the hands of this horrible gang, Operation Aurora. And if they come back into our country after we're going to throw them out so far, you wouldn't believe it. But if they come back into our country, it's an automatic 10 years in jail with no possibility of parole. 10 years. And if that doesn't work, it'll be 20 years. And if that doesn't work, I guess it's going to be the death penalty, right? The death penalty. And I'm hereby calling for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer. Death penalty. It's time. Mass migrants. She started this by letting people come in. No proof, no anything. They didn't need anything. There was no vetting. Just come on in. Where were you? Who are you? Don't worry, it doesn't matter. Murderers were coming in. Remember CNN? They had this young reporter, a young, beautiful young reporter, talking to somebody. Where do you come from? I come from Colombia. Oh. Were you in jail? Yes, I was in prison. What did you do? Murder.
I don't know about you, but except for through some kind of cheating, at this point, it seems impossible that Kamala Harris could win, especially not with her and Joe Biden's record. And then there's what the polls are saying. Our side was retweeting them all weekend long, super pumped, mocking Kamala. See, look, Trump's up, according to Emerson, in 6 out of 7 swing states. He's winning. Folks, if he were really winning, do you think they'd be telling us this? You know, just because they want us to know? This is a liberal pollster. Of course not. This is yet another manipulation. Look at the day all of this started. It was around the 10th or the 11th. The polls turned very quickly and very hard against Kamala compared to where she was before. CNN and NBC News suddenly wanted you to know, wow, Trump's up, man. He might win this thing. It's not looking good for her. Why did all the polls turn on a dime? And why did it start on the 10th of October? Well, because on the 9th of October, the highly respected Cook Political Report came out. And it showed something shocking, something we haven't really seen in modern times. Usually, Democrats are the low propensity voters. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't, but there's a lot more of them. This whole thing has now flipped. According to Cook's analysis, in the swing states, high propensity voters this time are overwhelmingly for Kamala Harris, 51% to 47%. Those are voters who always show up, A voters. But among low and mid propensity voters, Trump is up 52 to 45%. I actually believe this. This explains why these polls are all over the place, because you've got two problems. Number one, are you voting for Trump? Yes or no. But number two, are you going to show up? And everybody in these polls says they are. You've actually got a poll for your propensity to show up. So what's happened here? All of these pollsters who really do push polls, okay, they're trying to manipulate the public, have realized that if the high propensity voters turn out and the lower propensity voters are like, eh, I'm too busy, you know, Trump's going to win in a landslide anyway, they'll be more likely to stay home. That's why NBC News suddenly desperately wants you to know that Kamala's in trouble and Trump will probably win. Do I actually believe this? No. Because here's what these polls aren't capturing. How unpopular Trump is and how motivated that makes people. See, these polls are really geared to this old formula that doesn't work really well, at least not with this election. Hey, what do you think of Kamala? Eh, not much. Excited about her? Eh, not really. Okay, but how do you feel about Trump? Well, I hate the bastard. I'm coming out to vote against him. Do you see how that could get missed? Her numbers reflect people's kind of meh take on her. But they don't reflect the one thing Trump does more than any other Republican candidate in modern history. He fires up the other side. So while Trump's out there turning out voters who haven't voted in 15 years and getting blue collar voters to cross the aisle and vote for us, that's awesome. But he also has this thing where he motivates them to come out. And whoever their candidate is, they don't give a damn. So the same people telling you, I don't really like Kamala, are going out to vote against Trump. That's what's not showing up. So if you look at what the tactic that they used in previous years here, you can kind of see it. By last week in 2020, Biden was up 6.7 points, according to the pollsters, over Trump. In 2016, Hillary's up by 7.3%. In the end, Biden allegedly beat Trump by 4.4 points. So we're told. Again, they blew it. So this year, it looks like they're taking another tactic. After all, Donald Trump shattered all previous turnout records for Republicans last time. From about the second that Cook Political Report came out and everybody realized, oh my gosh, yeah, we got to keep these low propensities at home. We got to make them think Trump's winning in a landslide. So, you know, they won't stand in the lines.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's exactly what they're doing. The bottom line is this. As North Carolina governor, who's a Democrat, Roy Cooper said, if Kamala Harris wins North Carolina, she'll be the next president. I'm convinced this is why the Democrats slow walked the recovery response in Western North Carolina. And they absolutely did. Again, Roy Cooper, the Democrat governor, requested the Stafford Act be triggered on the day it hit, the 27th of February. And Joe Biden wouldn't actually trigger the Stafford Act for a full almost 6 days afterward. In other words, he waited nearly a week to deploy the military to help these folks. That's why all of the volunteers had to rush in. Why are they doing that? Well, if you look at the geography in North Carolina, Western North Carolina is absolutely critical to Trump's win. That is where the most conservative voters in the state are. And if you look at Buncombe County, yes, that's a blue county. There's about 100,000 Democrat voters there, but it's a pretty suburban and urbanized county. So the lights are going on there first. The sewage is going to be working there first. And people are closest travel-wise to their polling places for early voting. You're not going to have to go very far. Now, you look at the four counties around Buncombe County, and you've got 70, 80% Republican registration there. In those four counties, which are the hardest hit, it's about 90,000 Republicans. But the problem is, they'll have to hike out of the woods, a lot of them, to vote. And they'll have to know to hike out of the woods because they don't even have electricity. I mean, these folks aren't going to be able to drive, a lot of them, because they live down 2 to 3 blocked roads. If you read what's kind of coming out of Western North Carolina, Red State had a great piece on this. Folks, these places have no electricity. They've had to take individual, you know, generators to each home by helicopter. That's how bad it is. Here's from the Red State article, and this is CB, a former Navy CB, who's running a, you know, rescue operation out there. He says, when you go into places like Poplar, North Carolina, it's a small town with 300 people, most of them elderly, highly Republican, right? They have no electricity. The lights are only on in some of these houses because they have airlifted generators to each house. So keep in mind, in these rural places, the cell towers are down. He's saying they don't think they'll even have electricity working until sometime early next year. And get this, what about running water? Quote, they're saying they may not have water for a year in some of these parts. He says, so we want to make sure that they're able to stay warm through the winter. Okay, great. But how are they going to vote? Are they even going to know what day of the week it is or that early voting starts on Thursday? This is what David Axelrod was talking about, and I referenced it in last week's podcast when he said, yeah, our voters will be there because they live closer in, is what he means, in Buncombe County and Asheville. With these people, good luck. And I think that's why they delayed this. I mean, folks, do you remember Bush during Hurricane Katrina and all of his emergency management officials got absolutely torn to pieces? They were all on scene immediately, but supposedly they were racist because they weren't doing a good enough job. Well, let me contrast. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, right? Saturday, this is the day after the storm hits. The storm hit on Friday. What was he doing? Washington Free Beacon snapped photos of him in D.C. shopping for luxury clothes in a Georgetown men's boutique called Sid Mashburn with his security team. He didn't even bother. When did he finally actually show up in Western North Carolina? Not till this past Thursday, just a few days ago. That's nearly 2 weeks after the storm hit. How long did he spend there? He flew in and hit the ground at 10. By 4 p.m., he was back in D.C. By 5 p.m., he was photographed going to a high-end Japanese restaurant for takeout. Bottom line, the idea is to get these people off the front page. Get them out of the public consciousness so that nobody realizes how badly they're being neglected and left out there in the hopes that they're not able to vote. That's exactly what's going on. And folks, this makes something else make so much sense. You know how Mayorkas came out and said, ah, well, FEMA's broke and we're not going to have any more money after this disaster, you know, after Western North Carolina, we'll run out. We won't have any more. Yeah, too bad. Can't spend anything. And so Mike Johnson, the Republican speaker, goes on Face the Nation and she confronts him. Why won't you guys come back and give him some money? Speaker Mike Johnson says he's got plenty of money. He's sitting on $20 billion. He's lying about needing money.
Lawmakers aren't scheduled to come back for another month. Why do you think it can wait?
Well, it can wait because remember the day before Hurricane Helene made landfall in Florida and then went up through the states and wound up in Senator Tillis's state of North Carolina. Congress appropriated $20 billion additional dollars to FEMA so that they would have the necessary resources to address immediate needs. And so we put that into the coffers. I just checked, Margaret, as of this morning, less than 2% of that funding has actually been distributed, right around 2% of it. So we need FEMA to do its job.
See what's going on here? This is why Mayorkas is screaming about being out of money, so it won't look weird when they don't spend a lot of it in Western North Carolina. Meanwhile, today, this Red State article kind of shows you how bad things are out there in terms of voting. It's called Helene Relief Volunteer says recovery in Western North Carolina is now a race to beat winter. And he talks about the town, for instance, of Poplar, North Carolina, how you can't even get there anymore from North Carolina. You have to take a helicopter in from Tennessee. And the only homes with electricity are the ones where the generators have been dropped off. The electricity itself is not supposed to come on again till at least next year. And the people there are being told there won't be running water for at least a year. Because the cell towers are either down or damaged, many people don't have any form of internet either. Yet somehow on Thursday, voting is supposed to start. What's the best way to make sure these people who haven't showered in 2 weeks and are desperate don't make the long trek in to vote? Because what's happening is allegedly the Western North Carolina GOP is going to set up kind of like tents near where their early voting would normally be. How will you even know they're there unless you happen to walk or maybe drive by? I don't think you will. Folks, this is why I think they have downplayed this disaster. They don't want to send them money. They don't want this cleanup happening. But it's also why I swear why they're also running this, ha, look, Trump's winning. Poor Kamala. Too bad. Thing because they want to make sure these people for whom, I mean, they'd probably, some of these people probably have to walk for miles just to vote. They want them to feel like, yeah, Trump's got this. No way she wins. If by any chance they can contact the outside world, they feel like, well, you know, I don't need to vote. I'm fine. It's too risky to walk that far anyway. It's like the Wild West out here. I'll just stay home. And that's exactly what they need for her to take North Carolina. Folks, this thing's going to come down to the wire. Don't believe that.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.